Hello, adventurous travelers, and welcome back to the very first episode of my podcast, Through Lisa's Eyes, One World, Numerous Lives. I'm so excited that you tuned in for the first episode because I have a very special guest with me, and I couldn't be happier that she's with me and that she agreed to do the podcast with me. Because, of course, it's a decision you gotta make if you want to appear in one of these kind of shows. But I'm so happy I get to talk to her because, as I said already in the introduction, she means a lot to me. She's been a very long friend, and it was very important for me to have her here for the very first episode. So, yeah, I'm happy she's here, and let's start. Hello, Anna, first.
Hello.
So this is my friend Anna. She's German, and she's been living in Scotland for the past 10 years, I think.
Almost, right? Yes.
Yeah. So maybe if you want to introduce yourself, and maybe if you want to tell our story a little bit.
Yes, I think so. So yes, I'm Anna, and I think Lisa and I met about many, many years ago in seventh grade.
Yeah.
As we both came to high school.
Yeah.
So we are high school friends, and yeah, have been ever since. And so we went to school together for another 6 years.
And we went to our first concert together.
Yeah.
My dad accompanied us.
Yeah, those are such good memories. Yeah, and he was like protecting us from all the jumping people.
Yeah.
And it was great fun. Yeah,
it's so long ago. It was one of his favorite concerts as well.
We went to our first festival together.
Yeah.
So it was the Hurricane Festival in 2006, I think. Yeah, we were both like 16. And yeah, exciting times. And then after high school, Lisa went off to New Zealand for her au pair year, and I went off to Scotland for my au pair year. So
this is when it all started, right? Like,
yeah.
We both become these like really crazy travelers.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, like all the experiences we made afterwards shaped our lives, like up till now. But I think through all these times, we still managed to keep in touch, which is pretty amazing because, yeah, we're all busy. We all know that, like, young people are always out and about, especially with traveling so much. But it's important to have, like, some old and dear friends still. And, yeah, we've managed through the years to still keep a pretty good connection, I think. Pretty great, pretty deep.
Yeah.
At times, so I think, yeah, that's pretty special. And I'm happy that Lisa asked me to be part of this podcast and maybe inspire some people with my story too. Who knows? Yeah, so after high school, I went to Scotland, to the southwest of Scotland, Dumfries, and I lived in a family there and took care of two children. And
still remember you sending me this picture of you and the cow.
Yeah, I love cows, still do. But yeah, so yeah, that was like a big culture shock for me because you wouldn't believe it now, I think. But at the time, like, I grew up in a small village, like Lisa is from a smaller place as well in Germany. And I think I have never seen the world as much as I did in the past years now. But at that time, I think it was really hard for me to leave home and everything you know and go to a different country. It was still in the support of the au pair family, but still, like, at the time, I felt it was a challenge.
Yeah, we were babies, like, learning about the world. It was hard. It was a tough time. I think people wouldn't imagine this, how, like, a lot of people go out and do their au pair time. But what is actually behind it, and that are like really hard times because you're learning so much about yourself and you're really young at that age. Yeah. That's a big step.
Yeah, that's true. And it was good for me though, because I was pushed out of my comfort zone a lot. I think before I wasn't really, but then my au pair family also like challenged me a lot. Every weekend they were like, oh, you should go and visit these people. So in that year, I got to see a lot of the UK. So I've visited lots of places in Scotland, and I've been to Ireland, I've been to England, and like, yeah, lots of different places, so good. And I always remember I Skyped with Lisa in between, and New Zealand, the whole world was between us, it felt so far there.
It was like the furthest apart we could possibly have been.
I think so, yeah,
yeah.
At that time. Yeah, and then I went to a university open day, and I think I took the gap year at that time because I wasn't sure where my life is going and what I want to do, what I want to study. So, yeah, that's why I chose to do an au pair year in between. And then I went to an opening day of the University of Glasgow, which looks like Hogwarts, by the way.
It does. I've been there.
So, yeah, maybe that was a factor as well. But yeah, no, I talked to lots of nice people there and was inspired to study neuroscience. So I started in 2010 to study neuroscience, and I did that for about 3 years. And then I did a work placement in Leipzig and yeah, at the Max Planck Institute. And we did one of the...
Which Anna was really sneaky about because she's German, but she managed her way around being supported by the state of Scotland. Yeah. To go back to Germany and then receive Erasmus money to be supported by the German state.
Yeah, so I would encourage everyone to do an Erasmus exchange because it's a really great program. And technically you should not do it in your home country because it's a language-based program. But yeah, for me it magically worked out. So I
The regulations were in your favor.
Yeah, they definitely were. So yeah, so I did an Erasmus exchange in Germany and used it to do some career progression though and work for the Max Planck for a year. It was like a really great placement because we did one of the biggest meditation studies at the time. Mm. And I think that has changed me a lot. And yeah, I know, like, I've also been in Hamburg in between, and we went to the Holy Festival as well.
But this is like when you got really comfortable with meditating, right?
Yeah. So, and I think also more with myself. I think I learned a lot in that time also, yeah, about like my connections to other people. I think I reflected more, like there was more self-reflection happening. And I think I've been a bit more troubled and I had like some problems, I think, sometimes fitting in, living in a different country. And I never like change, which seems strange now because I think I had a lot of change in my life. But yeah, it was always the thing that really scared me to get out of my comfort zone and change things. But yeah, after that I think I began to feel more comfortable and maybe have more belonging as well. I don't know, but I think Leipzig has been very important in my journey. And then I came back to Scotland in 2014 and finished my master's studies in neuroscience. And yeah, I graduated in 2015, and then I thought, ooh, I should do something very different. So I applied for an international voluntary service with the German Red Cross, and I went to Israel.
Super impressive.
So I think, yeah, I mean, you had the culture shock probably before me because you went all around the planet to go to New Zealand, and I thought, ooh, I've only been to Scotland. Mm. So I think I thought I want to, like, yeah, experience a very different culture I don't know anything about. I want to go further from home. I applied for other countries as well, for South America and Asia, but that didn't work out.
And yeah, as I just said, it's so impressive because I've been a part of all this, like of this part in your life. And I still remember talking to you when you were about to leave, and then of course your time there.
Yeah, and I think it was more difficult as well for like organization purposes. I know you know the visa applications and everything, but I've just traveled in the European Union a lot, and we all know that's very easy. But then suddenly you have to face, like, if you need to organize, especially because I worked in Israel, I had to organize all the police statements and yeah, just like lots of passport visa issues. It was a big trouble to get into that, but it's good. Mm. I think it's important that you kind of choose some projects you want to do, and then through achieving your goals and setting new goals, you kind of grow in confidence. And I think that has happened through me over the years through the different experiences.
I mean, in our world there's like so many options, so I think it's always hard to choose between those options as well. So like I guess you still remember when I had to choose like voluntary projects that I wanted to do, I would like make this big ass world map and draw them all down by continent and by location, so I would have an overview of the options I had and then decide what I wanted to go for.
Yeah, I think I did the same. Yeah, I looked what's out there, I did a lot of Google searches and made like a map. And yeah, so Israel then happened, but I think also things have fallen into place, because I think sometimes I applied for things and I didn't get into them, or and then I always thought, oh, it's kind of like a failure maybe. But sometimes I thought then something else came along which maybe fitted in better. So it's not always bad. Like, it's good to try different things, but if it doesn't work out that way you maybe plan, there's always a different way you can, that maybe opens up when one door shuts, kind of thing. Yeah. Then you have a different door opening. And I think, yeah, then you maybe develop some kind of trust as well. So I think, yeah, because I've always been a person that was especially scared of trying some new things. And I think it's good, though, because I've seen over the years now that things always work out.
Yeah.
And things are possible. And also, yeah, I think, like, friends like you and also my parents have obviously always supported me. And I've been unsure. And I think lots of young people, especially in our 20s, we always think the decisions we make might be the wrong ones. And maybe we go into the wrong direction in life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really true. I don't think there is a way that you can make a mistake. And if you're not happy, then you just turn back and do something else. I think it's always good to go for a risk.
That's something I agree with as well. Like, it's really something you gotta learn. And it's really something I think all of us have to experience and then realize for themselves throughout the years.
Yeah, and I think it's also like, yeah, engaging and trying to, yeah, engage in new projects. I think you've done that a lot more even than me in your studies, that you, like, took placements, you went abroad, you went to Cyprus, you went to Denmark. And it's really good, I think, to, like, also be able to experience all these new environments and then be challenged, because you're always challenged in a different capacity, I think, yeah. Not only when you travel, also if you go somewhere and work somewhere else. And I think, yeah, we've done that, and it's, like, great to see that. And if you meet other people who do that, they can inspire you and they reassure you and they maybe give you the strength and also sometimes, but you need to be brave, but I think.
And it sounds so basic, but it's really about comfort zones. I mean, it's all about being uncomfortable. Yeah. Because they're like, whichever situation you look at and whichever facet you look at, it's gonna make you feel uncomfortable. And you're gonna push your way through it. You're gonna find an answer to that. You're gonna find a solution to that. Yeah. Because otherwise you're just gonna be stuck, or you're just not gonna go anywhere, or you're just gonna turn around and give up on something. Mm-hmm. And that shouldn't be your goal in life, right?
No, definitely. And I think Israel, especially, I worked, even though I'm like from a very scientific background in my studies, I worked with autistic people for a year, and they were adults, and it was a lot of caretaking, something I've never learned. And I wanted to get out of academia for a while, to get a different view again, to maybe get out of my, think out of the box. I think that's what I imagined. I was like, I want to do something very different. And yeah, it was the hardest thing I've ever done. It was really hard to get through that. It was culturally very different.
I still remember.
Yeah. I think I was whining a lot, but I'm very glad that I did that year, and I would never... I think it's important to also not have regrets, maybe.
And like, you really did push through.
Yeah. Like, but I'm glad that year is part of my life and I enjoyed it. I don't say it's like a bad experience, but it was very difficult. Like, it was very emotionally challenging, I think, for me. It was stressful to work with people, and I have so much respect now for caregivers and people who can do that job. That's like, it's amazing. And I had very beautiful moments with those people. But yeah, it was very, very hard at times as well, especially because I don't have the education for it, and I don't speak the language.
Also the lifestyle, right? Yeah. Because you were taking care of the people like the whole day. You just gotta imagine, like, she was taking care the whole day of these people and working with them, and then she would get home and you didn't have any time for yourself, really, right? Because you had a shared room.
So yeah.
And so it was like really psychological stress in a way.
Yeah. We had a flat with 7 people and only 3 rooms. So we had one on the balcony and we shared all the other rooms.
On the balcony. Sleeping out on the balcony.
It's possible.
It was not you, though.
No. But it was also like an advantage, because if you had the balcony, you kind of had a room for yourself, even though it wasn't a room. But it was
but still your roommate
space.
Wanted to steal your underwear. Wasn't that the case? Yeah, and she didn't see you because you were sleeping in your bed.
Yeah, there were lots of weird things happening. Yeah. So
that's even more challenging because of that. And it's something you so much more got to be proud of then.
Yeah, it wasn't a very well-paid voluntary service, so we had to live, like, in a very crowded room, and, food also was a bit weird over the time. I've enjoyed that year, and also that year has been important for my life now, because during that year I applied for my PhD positions, and I think I missed academia and was like, ooh, I want to go back, so this is where my life is taking me now, the route I'm following.
And I think something that would I really like to put a focus on in talking about this topic, you gotta imagine, like, being under so much stress over there in Israel, mm-hmm. like being in that life situation and then still at the same time organizing everything back home. I'm going to call Scotland home now. and organizing all of that. I mean, you had to go back, you had to apply, you had to write like really hard academic applications to get your PhD position. And then you had to fly back for interviews and you had to prove yourself. Like you couldn't only be like, hi, I'm Anna, I want to do the PhD. You really had to prove yourself.
Yeah.
And so this is something I find so impressive because it's like something really hard for a person to accomplish.
Yeah, at the time it was like pretty difficult because I had the work there and I was in a completely different environment with completely different challenges. And then I had to try to get back into the academic settings and prepare my presentations for the interviews. Also, money was a thing at the time because I didn't have much money and I had to organize how I got funding for the flights. Like I had to my kind of interview funds to get everything paid to go because I had to go to Europe a couple of times. And yeah, it was pretty stressful. And I think I took a long time to write all the single applications. Mm-hmm. I wrote a lot because I applied to different countries in Europe and also in Scotland again. And so I looked at all the opportunities that there are again, I think. Mm-hmm. Even though I think it was probably not the easiest way to go down, I think I could have applied, I could have written less applications, mm-hmm. but I think sometimes it's nice to apply to many things and then you have, your choice.
The choice, yeah.
So I think that was my, even though I could have been more lazy, I would say, but I think I sampled more of the what's out there and then I tried to get the best I maybe could. And so that led back, so in the end, I got back to Glasgow.
I felt that's a good way to go with making a decision like that. I mean, like for me, when I started my master's program, I was exactly the opposite because I knew I wanted to get to this one university. And so I only sent out that one application to that one university. And in case that would have not happened, then it wouldn't have just been the thing for me at that moment. That's how I felt back then in that moment. And that felt good for me as well.
Yeah. No, I believe so. Yeah, I think some people are very... I think also that's why I did my au pair year. I never had a very kind of idea. Like, I think I'm still drifting a bit sometimes about my career. I think you've always been a lot more like with the direction you want to go in. And I think I'm still exploring a bit.
Because... But I think you're always learning. You're always making progress. And you're always learning for yourself. I think that's the exciting thing about life, that you don't want to stand still. You want to be in a constant progress, right?
Yeah, I think we're very, pretty much the same with that. So I think like, I've always had that I have the same drive. I think you described it in your introduction so nicely as well, that you always want to go out again and see different places. And I love traveling as well. But, so I went back to Scotland though. And I think now because I felt a bit stuck, I think, because I was a bit scared if I do a PhD position, I have to stay somewhere for 4 years. And in Israel, even though it was like hard living circumstances sometimes, we were very, very free. We could always like go to the desert and camp or to the north and hike. And so we could explore. We could always go to Jerusalem. And I think as I accepted that
position, which was so beautiful, right?
Yeah, it was amazing. It's like a beautiful country to visit.
I mean, we didn't stress that because it sounded like you only got to work there. You also saw like amazing places. And actually, she also brought me an amazing gift for my birthday. I've been wearing it ever since, every single day. This really nice necklace, which has like a really deep emotional meaning and is supposed to protect me. And so I got that for my last birthday, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I put it on, never been taking it off. No. Oh, I really It'll have to fall off, seriously. But yeah, you got to see so many amazing places.
Yeah, definitely. So Israel has been like a very interesting year as well because it has three different climate zones.
And you were traveling by yourself.
Yeah, a lot as well. Yeah, it was more difficult there because it has a very different culture. And yeah, you go through like, I've also been to the West Bank and...
But you didn't find it dangerous for yourself, did you?
No, I didn't. And I've also done couch surfing a lot. And we also went
Israel?
And we also went to Jordan and did couch surfing there. So that was always super adventurous.
Yeah.
Because people were like, oh, you can't do that. In Jordan, I need to say, though, we went with a group. Mm-hmm. So we were more friends. I didn't do couch surfing by myself, I think. But like we had really, really great adventures and stories. And like, we stayed with Bedouin. We stayed in a cave in the desert. And yeah, it was great. And they made us like fresh food and very traditional. And like, yeah, I would highly recommend Jordan and Israel as traveling countries as well.
Still on my list. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, hopefully this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to go there.
Yeah. It's also like really good climate, especially like in spring and autumn. The summers are very hot. But yeah, Tel Aviv has so much to offer as well, it's like, and culturally as well. And I mean, yeah, if people are religious, there's obviously the all the kind of start of the three world religions there. And it's like, yeah, very interesting to talk also to all the different people. There's none like the other. There's also kind of, yeah, different peoples and self, like Circassians. And like, there's lots of people like we've never heard of that live in Israel. Like, not only kind of like Israeli, Palestinian, Arabic, but there's also a lot more to that.
I think it's a place that you only got like get to fully experience once you're there, right? Because people have their like picture about it in their minds.
Yeah.
But you really got to go there to fully experience it and to fully have an impression of the country, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think so too. I think there's a lot of prejudice. That's not like, no, but like what I've experienced also from the people, like they are so welcoming, all of them, wherever you go.
Like, you get to interact with a lot of locals, right?
Yeah. And I got to like visit lots of Jewish families, especially for the holidays as well, and also Arabic families also. So it was great to see like all the, also how people live, like the Bedouin, and they still like, some live in the desert very traditionally, and some live up north, but they have houses, so they decided to go down a different way of life. But yeah, it was definitely a very inspiring year. And I think afterwards I was a bit scared if I go back into my kind of boring academic life with a job, a flat, and everything is so sorted again. I think I was a bit scared. So I think after Israel, I came back and kind of set myself the goal to explore a lot more of Scotland. Yeah. So I think that has sparked a new drive in me now, because I still travel a lot. This year I actually got to travel a lot.
You did, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, so I travel a lot in Scotland now though. So I almost go every weekend. So I organize lots of trips there. And I'm based in Glasgow, which is kind of perfect. It's the biggest city in Scotland, but it's like, it has lots of culture and lots of things to explore, like museums, theater, like what all cities have. But at the same time, you can get into the mountains very quickly and all the outdoors life. And you have visited me.
Yeah, Glasgow's underrated, seriously. Like, people call it the little brother of Edinburgh, but I think it's just, it has its own standing. Like, Glasgow is really beautiful, actually. You gotta give it a try, seriously.
Yeah.
Everyone listening. Like, everyone always just thinks about Edinburgh, but Glasgow is so pretty, and I find it so unique and nice to be there, because, as you said, the city is so close. You just take the train for 30 minutes, and then it takes you to the wildest nature.
Yeah, and we've been to Loch Lomond. Yeah, that's like the biggest lake in Scotland.
The biggest lake.
And like you said, it's just outside the city. Oh, and then we also went to that beautiful island together.
Yeah.
The Isle of Arran.
And we went hiking there together.
Yeah.
And it's like the little brother of the Highlands.
Yeah.
We can say that.
Yeah. They say miniature Scotland.
Yeah.
And we climbed that mountain. No, but it's so beautiful because you have all the valleys. And
all of that is so easily reachable.
Yeah.
Like, that's something I said, actually, because I'm based in Hamburg, and I love Hamburg. It's an amazing city, but it's not that easy to get to mountains that quickly. And so that's what I really liked about Glasgow.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, that has sparked my new passion somehow from, like, the past 2 years now, probably, that I get into hiking a lot more. And now, at the moment, I try to even get into mountaineering a bit more. So
with your ice pick and
She's
getting really professional. Like, she's out every weekend almost, and she's getting really professional now. She has her tent, her ice pick, like the stuff for your shoes. What's it called?
Crampons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm trying to get into the winter climbing and mountaineering.
It's really adventurous.
Boots. Yeah. So I think I've started to be more local and love Scotland and be there and feel at home there. But at the same time, I've started to, like, I've channeled my drive, I think, towards a different thing. So at the moment, I'm progressing, I think, in my hiking hobby a lot.
Yeah. But which is so amazing to see. Yeah, yeah. I think you're more local, but more intense in a way.
Yeah, and it's great because lots of people ask me now, even at work, like Scottish people ask me, oh, where do you go and where can I go and how do you organize those trips? And it's nice. Like, I think it's good to get outside, especially now. I think lots of people are more stressed because we all have, yeah, jobs, we work a lot, and we have all these engagements, and we're on the city, we're always busy, we have a lot of technology, which is great, but at the same time, yeah, sometimes we're just, like, very caught up in our heads, and I think, for me, going outside just, like, balances me more.
Yeah.
And gives, like, yeah, it gives me the balance, and, yeah, it's just great, and Scotland is perfect for it, and I think I haven't seen that in the first years that I lived there. I think I've never really taken advantage of all the things I have just outside my door, but now, yeah, I try to engage with it a lot more.
That's beautiful.
So, yeah.
Do you ever think back, like, to your time in Israel when you had to make the decision, like, the other opportunities you would have had? Is there, like, any other options you had at that time?
I don't think so, no. I think at the moment, like, the choice I have made is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the other options, but like you said, we always have all those options, and it's also not good to always consider and be scared. I think I've made the right choice.
Yeah.
Because I think at the moment I have a lot of life satisfaction generally. Like, I like working at the uni, I have a really good lab, I like doing my research, so I work in cardiovascular science currently, and I look into sugar transport. I was just going
to ask you to quickly sum it up.
Yeah, so I look into sugar transport in the heart and in the background of diabetes type 2. And yeah, I really like working in my lab. I have really engaging work colleagues, and it's a really good environment. It's not high pressure, I would say, but still we get stuff done. So it's
a lot of work.
Yeah, I think it's a very good stimulating environment, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is stress, of course, and there's also lots of things happening at the same time. But I feel like, yeah, there's progress, but it's not like a very stressful working environment. Yeah, and I enjoy working in the lab. I also have lots of analysis to do. So, yeah, so I have
which most people wouldn't enjoy.
No, but I think I really like doing the PhD because you think of new concepts every day. You have new ideas every day. You want to kind of solve a question. You have a hypothesis, and then you kind of try to do what no human has done before, which is sometimes a bit, I think it's a daunting task. Sometimes I think I'm scared and I just think, oh, it all won't work out. But yeah, it's also, I enjoy it because it's very engaging. I get to do lots of different things.
It becomes such a big part of you, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think sometimes I obviously hate it and I'm just like very frustrated because you try it again and you try it and you try it and it doesn't work, and then you try it again and it still doesn't work. So it's a very difficult working environment. But at the same time, I think you also learn to be resilient, and I think it's very rewarding then when you've tried something for a long time and then you get it to work, which doesn't always happen in science.
but I think it defines such a big part of your personality by now, right? So yeah, it's like the work you do there, it's who you are in a way.
Yeah,
because what you're doing there, you can only accomplish by the way you, the person you are.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, and it's like the drive I have, I think. Yeah. In between, I'm sometimes, I think we all have that we get frustrated with ourselves. Of course, yeah. when it's like stagnation and I feel, oh, there's no progress. I feel I'm working, but nothing is happening. But I think everyone gets these moments.
Of course.
And probably if you have a lot of drive, it's even harder. I'm sometimes impatient. But yeah, I think
we both had times where we were really frustrated and really had to like build ourselves up and maybe help the other one to build her up.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, you also sometimes said, oh, but I think, yeah, you're very, very ambitious. And yeah, I think it's always easier to see it in other people as well, though sometimes you don't appreciate it in yourself, maybe, because sometimes I think, oh, nothing is happening. But yeah, you're right. I think it defines a big part of my life and the person I am. But I think also all the other experiences I had and the travels and the challenges also in Israel and in Leipzig was also Leipzig was a really great year, but from work it was very hard. I think I worked so many hours there as well.
But I think it's something so important to acknowledge, because I feel like often people look at other people and they sometimes feel like life's just so easy for them.
Yeah.
And they're just traveling the whole time, everything's just fun and life's just easy. Why isn't my life treating me that well?
Yeah.
And I think it's really important, and that's why I want to stress it at this moment, to just say, and also from our side, tell people that life is not always easy and we're also struggling and we're also frustrated, but we just keep pushing through and then life gets brighter in the other moments, and then it's worth the effort. And you don't get anywhere in life without struggles and without frustration, and without a fight, in a way.
No, and there's always, I think, a lot of hard work involved as well. You always need to organize. Obviously, if you kind of have an aim without a plan, it's just a dream. But if you kind of have a plan and you organize something and you see how can I... Because after my master's, I was like, oh, I don't have enough money saved up because I always had to work. I was like, I still want to go away for a year. So what can I do? I looked at the options. There's so much out there what you can do. You can do work away as well or different voluntary services. You've done that during your travels as well. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, there's so much out there that you can explore and you just need to have a start. And I get also sometimes that it's overwhelming and confusing because of all the information that is out there. But maybe also if you're interviewing these people now, all your friends, like other people maybe get ideas and inspiration of what's out there, what are the different paths in life. I think that's also the idea of this whole podcast. Of course it is, So yeah, maybe if you just listen to what other people talk about and what jobs there are, what opportunities there are generally in life, what places there are to go and to explore as well. I think that's a really good thing. That's what I admire that you do that.
Thank you. I think in general, just to put a focus on that, everything you told me so far and you told the listeners, these are all such big steps in your life, and I find it really, really impressive that nothing of that was handed to you. Like, nothing of that came easy. You had to fight for each single step. Even going out there to be an au pair, like, you organized it all by yourself, you funded yourself, and then you stayed there, you organized the whole job fair, and just every next step, that was all you. There was no one helping you, no one handing it to you. It was all you. So I feel there's something so important to acknowledge, because it's just like, it's just one message in life. It's just a mantra everyone should follow, that things are not just handed to you like that. You got to fight for them.
Yeah, I think it's also good if sometimes you don't have that, because I think I always had to think a step ahead. It's very often after my master's, I already, like, as I had all my final exams, I had to write my applications for my voluntary services as well at the same time. You know that too. You finish something up, but then you need to see, where is the next place you can go? You can't just have a break.
I was finishing a master's thesis and had to organize my around the world trip.
So, I mean, that's crazy. Like, I think, people just think, oh, and then you go and travel. But obviously, you have to organize that and look into all of these things and sometimes do lots of things at the same time. There's a lot of time management and multitasking involved in that. Lots of, like, research. Like, you have to inquire so much new information. And, so... I think, it's good to do that, though. But I think if you do that, and even if you organize a little trip for yourself, so there's a lot of growth and, like, it's character building. And I think, if I compare myself now, I think I thought about it earlier. It's very hard to sometimes follow how you got to a place. Because I think at the moment I say, ooh, I have life satisfaction and things kind of went my way. But I thought about, like, in my early 20s, it wasn't that way. I think I was struggling a lot, and I thought life was generally a lot harder. I think I was less trusting in my abilities, but I think that's normal. Obviously, you're young, and also I think I was less trusting that things will turn out right. I was scared of making mistakes, and I think, obviously, the more you do things and the more you engage in new projects and you see that things are working out, you kind of develop that trust. And I think that made me a more relaxed person, maybe. I don't know how to bring that across, but I think that has kind of contributed to my happiness in a way that I am about to achieve. I think I'm a lot more balanced in myself now than I was a couple of years ago. But I think through the hard times as well, especially, and not the good ones, like you said, it doesn't all, like, fall into your hands all the time.
Yeah, I understand what you're feeling, because it's just life just turns its way around and you just never know what's gonna happen. And I feel like there's a lot of self-criticism you carry around with you, like each person has it. And in my younger years I also had it, like, and I even sometimes now I self-criticize, of course I do. I'm sometimes very hard on myself. People normally don't see that when they talk to me, or if you really, like, know me very personally, then you would know that. But being younger and, like, thinking 6 years back, 8 years back, I think we were very hard on ourselves with like self-criticizing. And then with all the experiences you made, you just grew and grew and grew. And at some point, like right now in my life, I also feel like things are coming together. And it's because you worked for them. And then at some point, like miraculously, they're coming together. Yeah. And it's such a good feeling.
Yeah. So I hope, yeah, we'll continue like that. I need that as well for my PhD. But yeah, I think I'm like, yeah, more confident in that these things will happen. And so, yeah, I have 2 more years now.
Yeah.
Still in Scotland. And things are changing again. We see with Brexit now.
Yes, that's a big step.
Yeah.
In general, if you would think of your last years, like the past years you've experienced from a cultural side, what are like the main situations that come to your point and to your mind where you just learned, oh yeah, that's so German? Or
Yeah, I think especially once we went to a festival in Hanover. It's like a folk festival,
mm-hmm.
and it was like 3 a.m. and people were just like going home from it, and there was like this really empty road, and there was a traffic light though, but no car in like 5 mile radius. And I walked over the red traffic light, and like the first thing was happened, like there was like this elderly man, German man, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Telling you off, yeah.
Yeah, that you can't walk over a red traffic light, mm-hmm. even though there is no car or no one else coming or no children around even.
And in Scotland, everyone just crosses the road? Or?
Yes. Even the police. Yeah, I think it's a... But also, like, jaywalking isn't illegal in Scotland. In Germany, it is. And I think, yeah, I think we're more law-abiding, weirdly.
Mm-hmm.
Weirdly only, I think, when you go into a German pub sometimes, that people smoke. Mm-hmm. I think that is the only time where we're not so, we don't really care about the law when it comes to smoking. But otherwise, I think we're very, very stringent and, yeah, following those things. I think Scottish people are less, law-abiding in a way.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, Germany has, like, more health and safety here as well. If you see construction sites in Scotland, it's, like, it looks very different.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the mentalities are very different. And I think, yeah, for a while, I think at first it was a bit hard for me to settle in Scotland and feel at home. But then I always told myself, oh, you know, it's just across the North Sea. It's like, it's not very far. It's a small island. But like you said, there are cultural differences and some situations. I think also at work, I think I really like the work atmosphere. Apart from that, yeah, I think in Scotland, like, people are very satisfied very often as well. And okay. I think Germans like to nag very often. Like, I sometimes hear that when I come back, but you can't say that, like, it's hard to generalize. I think you can't say that. I don't want to say that Germans are unfriendly. They are definitely not. It also depends, I think, which part of Germany you're in. But, yeah, Scottish people, like, they like their small talk. Like, wherever you go, they always talk about the weather. And
they do.
Yeah. So I think in Germany, if I walk through Hamburg, for instance, and stand at the bus stop, it's less likely that people
will... That'd be a bit odd, yeah.
Yeah, strike up a conversation with me and be like, oh, you know, it's raining today. Isn't it nice?
It's not because German people don't like to talk. It's just less likely.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that more in other episodes, but Germans are just... Germans are really deep, long friends, but you gotta get to know them first.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not about the whole just chit-chatting on the streets. It's something, yeah, someone would give you a weird look if you do that.
Yeah, we don't chit-chat.
Yeah, it depends on the region where you are in Germany, but the higher you get north, the weirder people would look. And yeah. It doesn't mean people are unfriendly or not open. It's just a different mentality to interact, I think.
Yeah, and I went to the States for the first time this year, and I heard a lot how bad my small talk is, because I don't talk to people randomly when I buy bread or something.
I once had a small talk with a Spanish guy in a bus on my way to from Malaga to Granada to see a friend, and yeah, I did have some Spanish classes, but I'm not good at talking in Spanish. But we kind of managed to find our language, if you want to call it like that. And so he talked to me for an entire hour. And we couldn't even, like, really talk to each other because I didn't understand him and he didn't understand me. But I still could make out what he wanted from me. And then I somehow tried with hands and feet to reply. There was our talk.
Yeah, no, that's very cool. Yeah, otherwise, I don't know, Christmas in Germany is big. I think I really like it here.
It is,
like,
yeah.
When I'm in Scotland, yeah, they try to have, like, some Christmas markets, but it's not the same as home. I think Germany is, like, the home of Christmas. They do a lot of effort. We have all the nice markets.
Like, for a whole month, we have the Christmas markets.
Yeah, and they're, like, they're different, like, the traditional old ones. And then also what I really like is the candles on the tree, which I think all my friends from abroad always make me aware that that's not the thing that they thought we do with our good German self.
Oh, it's so
safety.
Traditional.
Yeah, that we put real candles on our Christmas trees.
Yeah. Actually, we have a mixture at home. Like, my parents used to do, like, the lighting chains and the candles.
We do that too.
Yeah.
But still, the candles are a thing.
Yeah, and of course we have Christmas for 3 days.
Yeah.
Like, that's not very...
And we get our... Scottish people sometimes get in their Christmas trees at the end of November, so they have them a long time, and then they chuck them out straight away after Christmas.
Okay.
Whereas here in Germany, I think we get them in pretty late, and then we keep them until January. So it's a different kind of Christmas tradition.
Not if you call Lisa and you keep them until March.
I like that.
Yeah, well, let's see how long I'm gonna keep this one.
See, that's the German after long Christmas tree tradition.
Yeah, I don't know about other countries, but I like, is it a German thing? I just feel like January is a pretty sad month in a way, because like the nice holy time is gone, and then it's just January and it's cold. So I like to keep my Christmas spirit around. I like to have it cozy.
That's a very good idea. I like it. No, that's true.
Like, yeah, but they also celebrate, of course, Christmas on the 25th, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, they do it like the American way as well, that they unwrap the presents. So Santa is kind of coming from the 24th to the 25th, and then they have the stockings on the fireplace, and then they unwrap the presents with the family in the morning. I've had one Scottish Christmas only in my au pair family. I think, yeah, as I said, yeah, I love Christmas in Germany, so I mostly come home every year, but I had one of the Christmases abroad, and it was very nice as well. So it was strange, though, because on the 24th, we just went to church, to a carol service, and then we went to bed, and I thought,
and we had that in New Zealand as well, so it was like the same Christmas for us, right? Yeah. So in New Zealand, of course, the same on the 25th, that's Christmas Day, Eve day, Christmas Eve day. And then on the 24th, of course, you only just go to bed or you just wrap the gifts. But I actually liked it, like getting up in the morning. I mean, I still like Christmas, like German Christmas better, because I like celebrating all, like, 3 days. But I still like getting up in the morning, and then everyone's just in their PJs and it's just comfy and everyone's cozy together. And
yeah, it's cozy too.
I like
enjoyed
that.
It. I think it's also great to experience it somewhere different. I think,
Of course, it's weird with summertime in New Zealand and Australia. I've experienced both.
I thought in Israel as well, it would have been nice. Like, I went home because I wanted to see my family and I didn't go home otherwise. But the people who didn't, they walked to Bethlehem. So you can do like the proper pilgrimage and be. And actually, that's what I like now as well. Every time I go to church on Christmas now and listen to the Christmas story, I think I've been to all the places. Like, when they start, oh, they counted, like, the people in Nazareth, and they went to Bethlehem.
Oh,
and
wow.
I've been to all the places now, so I think I have a different relation.
Oh, yeah, you do.
To it now, because I always thought...
I didn't even know that.
I always thought, oh, that's a bit boring, because, you know, you hear it every year. But since I've been to Israel in the church, I'm always, like, getting excited. And then I think, oh, I've been to that place. I've been to where Jesus was born and where Jesus died and where Jesus was in the water. I swam in the Sea of Galilee and where he was baptized. And so I'm actually not that religious, but still, I think.
Just adding that.
Yeah. Just not that people.
It's something very unique once you travel a place. It's just a certain magic to it.
Yeah.
Like, once you've traveled somewhere, you just see that place with different eyes. It's like when I first came back from New Zealand, that's what I experienced when I saw, like, some footage of New Zealand on the TV. I just could see so much more.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, yeah, then you have a different relation to it.
Yeah, you have, like, a 360 view, in a way.
And so I really want to see New Zealand, because everyone always tells me it's like Scotland, but bigger and, like, more.
A little bit.
More, yeah.
Thank you so much for talking so deeply to me. I'm still so glad we get to do this. If you could wrap it up, or if you could sum it up, like, your whole passion you're going through life with and all the drive that has kept you going,
just thinking about like maybe your own mantra or your own drive, like your own thoughts you have in your mind that really push you to be who you are today and to become who you want to be? Like, what's just a lesson you go through life with?
I think very often I think to myself that my mind rebels at stagnation. I think that's like one of my mottos that I just say somehow that, yeah, I get like very impatient and I kind of want progress and sometimes it's stressful. A question I like to ask people very often, and that's probably important in my life as well, because then I think about it, is when was the last time you did something for the first time? I think I very often try to, even though, yeah, sometimes like go to like an evening class or start something new, I think it's important. Like I always have the feeling when I look back onto my weeks and I can't come up with when I did something for the first time, then I think that's not a good thing. So I think you should widen your horizon when you can. So I think I try to live my life and yeah, sometimes obviously don't achieve all my goals, and I think I just try to progress and develop myself and travel more and maybe also give the spirit to other people.
I love that. So maybe you should ask yourself, when have you done something for the first time?
Yeah.
So thank you so much for listening. I'm so excited you tuned in, and of course we're going to continue with the next episode in a month. And I'll be happy for you to return. And if you like this episode, subscribe to my channel and leave me a like. And of course, you can also check me out on my blog, ThroughLisasEyes.com, or on my Instagram channel, ThroughLisasEyes. Thank you, and talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.